Blog Talk Radio.
Take me home to that golden river. Take me back to that other shore. I'll find my way to that peaceful playground. I know I'll find it because I've been there before. I know I'll find it because I've been there before. Somebody's calling across the River Jordan. Somebody's calling from the other side. I cast my stones on the way to heaven. And on the way, you know that I will abide. Yes, on the way, you know that I will abide.
Hey, good evening. I hope you had a wonderful Sabbath. That's the Sabbath that starts when Friday night comes with the setting of the sun. And goes till the setting of the sun on Saturday night. A lot of people are probably enjoying a little bit of the basketball game. I was watching basketball a little bit. And so just kind of relaxing a little bit for the week. It's always good to kind of kick back and take a little bit of an inventory of life. Well, where did we leave off yesterday? We left off praying for somebody with a smoking addiction. And before I start in on today's message, because I always think these things are interrelated, fact of the matter is if you have a stronghold in your life, you have to approach it biblically. I think you can work in the flesh on some things, and I know that's kind of counter to Scripture, but I just think that, like, God equips people with certain things to handle certain things. I mean, that's scriptural, that he's not going to give you something that you can't handle. But as I was, I got up early this morning and was lifting weights, and then this afternoon I went for a run. And I was contemplating, because I'm in terrible shape, and I have I wouldn't consider it a stronghold, but I have a love, or I wouldn't say a love either, but I really enjoy having a cup of coffee, black, no cream or sugar, and having a donut, just savoring it. Now, the deal is I hadn't had a donut in a while the other day at work, and I took a break, and I've been working out. I just started, I just picked up and said, hey, I'm going to start working out, I'm going to get in shape, and because of that, I guess whether it was natural, I mean, I don't think it was a conscientious decision to forego donuts. I just think it kind of happened. But I sat there enjoying my donut, and I really savored it because I hadn't had one in a while. And I really enjoyed it. And I realized, you know what? This could kill me. This, having too much of this, not having control over this, can kill a person. I talked on this show a while back, I guess it's been a couple weeks now, about fasting, I talked about our eating habits in America. Because our food, we have abundance of food, but it's a lot of it is not very nutritious. We even have a niche grocery store, Whole Foods, and other ones are springing up all over. Now, how is it that it is a miracle that as a society we have processed our food so much and have fattened it up and, you know, all this other stuff to the point where it's like, I don't know, that there's a niche market for foods as they used to be or something. I mean, that's kind of just, that's startling. That's startling to me. I came across a bowl of Cheerios stuck to it, you know, my kids had. And, you know, I put it in the sink. It was like a Honey Nut Cheerio type deal. And I'm like, I'm going to soak this. It soaked into nothingness. That's a very telling thing, you know, when it just disintegrates to nothing. I don't know. I have my cereal. I like mini wheats, and they don't really disintegrate that much. I mean, you pretty much have to, you know, do the garbage disposal for that. But anyway, that's not the whole mission of this show, to talk about that stuff. What I'm talking about is strongholds that we have in our life, okay? And some strongholds that we have, it just kind of hit me when I was running. I'm like, you know what? I cannot go out and run like I was 15 again, you know? I can't run like I was in the best shape of my life. I have to walk first and then jog and then run. And I do a sort of training that you kind of go as you want. You know, you walk fast, you sprint some, and I sprint the hills, and I jog and on some flats, and then I walk after I sprint, and you know, it's what they call a fartlek, and I think Swedish for a speed play or something, but it just kind of like go as you wish, just do it for a certain amount of time or a certain amount of distance, and keep a record of it, and you'll get in shape, kind of deal. And it hit me that the strongholds can only be broken if you take a look at how they're broken in Scripture. The wall of Jericho, God's command was, okay, on day one, you're going to walk around the whole city. Okay? Day one, you walk around the whole city. And there's prayer involved. Okay? You know, and I didn't look up the verse, so I don't remember the specifics, but there's prayer and supplication, and I'm sure there's some fasting involved. But basically, you're going to march around the city of Jericho to enter the promised land one time the first day, and then you're going to keep doing that every day. And then on the seventh day, you're going to march around it seven times. Okay? And like I said, when I was running, it hit me that you can't just, you know, God can work miracles. He can intervene and step in for you, and bam, you stop cold turkey. But a lot of, you know, in smoking, but in a lot of ways, it's, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to fast from smoking. And during that time of fasting, we're going to be in prayer and supplication and praise of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father, and thankful through the Holy Spirit. And then on day two, we're going to fast. So like the first day, you might fast for, I don't know, 4 hours. And the next day, it might be a little bit more. And then you're going to build up, and eventually you're going to pull away from it completely. But every time you fast from it, you have to be in prayer. Because just like eating in America has those two facets. Number one is our food is so poorly, has such poor nutritional value that we have to eat more of it. Like we sense that there's a need in our body for certain minerals and, you know, carbohydrates and whatever, and so we just delve into it. So we're trained, and then on the other side of it is the psychological aspect. It's like, okay, this is comforting. This is comforting. This is comforting. I can, and that is that. Those are the areas that God wants to break. He doesn't want to just. If you remember, he when there's a paralyzed individual, Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven." And all the Pharisees and Sadducees are, "What? You know, who are you to say that and be that way?" Well, just to show you that I'm the Son of God, or, you know, Son of Man, get up and walk. And he said, isn't it easier to say that you're, you know, get up and walk than it is to say your sins are forgiven or something? And the whole point is that there's a reason why we have our addictions. And God wants you to meet him face to face as to those reasons. You might have other hang-ups in other areas, okay? Certain things that are keeping you from feeling the full weight of the Holy Spirit in your life. And those are the barriers that God wants you to get across. Smoking, eating, are all symptoms. Promiscuous behavior, all symptoms of something associated with a spiritual want and a, you know, maybe I'm not condemning, I'm just saying that there might be some unresolved conflict and sin that Jesus wants to meet you at that place and heal you of that, and that smoking is just a symptom. And it wouldn't help you at all if he came in and quit your smoking. Okay? Do you remember we talked about in Matthew 5, or I think it might be 6. Yeah, you know, Matthew 7, okay, asking, seeking, and knocking. And what he says is the Father in heaven to give good gifts to those who ask him. And so we ask, why don't you answer these prayers? Why don't you deliver me from this? Why don't you take care of that in my life? Why is my life so crappy? Why does this suck so bad? And the fact of the matter is there something else? He could take away the smoking. He could do anything. He's God. But if he did those things and you never got on your knees and prayed for salvation, like Jesus said, isn't it better to work towards the sin than to just get up and say, go ahead and walk? If he got up, if he told him, get up, you know, get up, paralyzed man, go walk, that would be meaningless without that first aspect, and that is that your sins are forgiven. But hey, I've gone a little long on what I wanted to talk about today, which is okay, because we're kind of winding towards Easter next week, and I'm getting into some of the messages between the Sermon on the Mount, and with the Sermon on the Mount we covered so much other scripture between those points that I hope we got the hardcore teaching of why Jesus came and that sort of stuff. But I just wanted to share that with you, that we can pray all we can for John and smoking. We can pray for people to overcome whatever ills and problems they have. But fact of the matter is God wants to put you in a place of repentance. He wants to put you in a place where you are going to come face to face with those issues. And those issues need to be resolved. And you'll find out that you, all that hard praying that you did about smoking, it wasn't about smoking. It could have been something, it will be something more deep, more spiritual, and more at your heart. And, you know, that's just where that's at. So, anyway, let me flip back to where I was wanting to go here in John. We left off two sessions ago. We left off at John 8, and we talked about Jesus being stoned. And then, I just lost it. And then I talked about in how Jesus was talking to Peter, Simon Peter. His name was Simon, and at that time he changed his name to Peter. And the question was, who am I? Okay? And he asked that question, and it was Peter who responded and said, you are the Christ. Okay? And then and Jesus' response is, that answer could only have come from the Heavenly Father. And then he talks about his death. He talks about how, you know, he's going to be turned over to the elders and how he's going to die. And Peter pulls him aside and says, hey, I'm not going to let that happen, you know. And then Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Get away from me. Okay, you are thinking of men and not of God. You're thinking of men and not of God. And the real issue there is it kind of goes to that whole smoking thing and having strongholds in your life, is that in the flesh we're thinking about those, that the evil is the smoking. The evil is the eating. The problem is I can't control my smoking, or I can't control my eating, or I can't control my, you know, whatever it is, whatever hang-ups that we have. The real issue is a spiritual question. It's a spiritual issue. And now, it isn't to say that Jesus was calling Peter Satan and that was Satan. What was happening was the enemy was showing himself. And that tells us as people that, you know what, we're gonna screw it up from time to time, that we're not perfect, that our best intentions is to draw the sword against those that are gonna come take Jesus away and protect Jesus. But you know what? Sometimes that's not the case. Sometimes we need to go through that crucifixion with Christ in those areas that we need to confront. And then we see that the eating stops, the type of eating changes, our promiscuous behavior is ended, smoking ceases. And so I guess that to me kind of plays into the whole thing a little bit, is that even Peter, who Jesus himself said that, you know, that the Holy Spirit was working in him, and that response was from God, okay, rebuked him. So going back to John 9, because we left at 8 where Jesus was going to be stoned, and I like that. It shows a depiction of people, you know, ready to, you know, fulfill the prophecy. Let's start at verse 9. As he went along, he saw a blind man from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Ah, see, this is where religiosity starts coming in. I know a lot of people who believe that. They believe that we're in a fallen world, and that if you're not a true believer, you must not be a true believer in Christ, or you must have sin in your life if these bad things happen to you. Let's see what Jesus has to say. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So let's kind of backtrack a couple sentences. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened that the work of God might be displayed in his life. Wow. That right there sums up what we're talking about, doesn't it? That's the type of God thing that happens. When I say or people say that God spoke to me, I'm not planning this. I'm not sitting down contriving, you know, where I'm going to go next and all this other stuff. I have to be honest with you. I had a goal of sharing the gospel with people during the Lenten season and to grow in my faith. And sometimes, you know, it's just not planned. And so, but it comes together because God wants it to come together just like that. And that's an example. Why do you have this? Oh, you must have been a sinner. That is, if anybody who proclaims to be a Christian comes up to you and says, your sin is causing you this, okay? All right? Then there's a problem. Now, that seems contradictory to what I said earlier, okay? But we're talking about hang-ups of smoking, eating, and things that we, of our flesh, okay, promiscuity, okay? Those have a spiritual root. But sometimes bad things happen to good people. And we sit there and we say, oh, Lord, why is this? You know, and we lament. And you know what? We have every right to lament. I'm number one lamenter. But the fact of the matter is, it's so that God might be displayed in his life. Do you look at your shortcomings, your handicaps, as the means to show God in your life? Imagine how strong of a witness you are. You have two paths. Remember we talked the narrow gate and the wide gate? There's two paths. What God wants to do is have you enter that narrow gate of faith, the road less traveled, and to have faith in him. And imagine this, if you had a handicap, okay, and the test is as of your faith. We can decide to be atheistic about it or even agnostic about it. But if we're godly about it, he wants to use us because we are the best evangelists for him. And so, John, as we approach the issue of smoking, we have to tackle the spiritual things so that God can use you and be displayed in your life. I hope that makes sense. He wants to give you good things. So let's go to John 10. I don't like transitions like that. It's like, hey, let's just go ahead and switch it to here. But let's finish up a little bit on 9. We won't read all the Pharisees investigating the healing and everything, but let's go to John 9:35. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" Okay, so who did he throw out? Let's go back a little bit. Oh, yeah, they threw out the man that was healed. "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believed," and he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who will see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What? Are we blind too?" What do you think Jesus is saying here? Let's guess his response. Take a quick second. What do you think how he responded to this Pharisee? Did he A, coddle him, B, give him a confusing answer to make him think about the metaphysical world and the spiritual realm and have him meditate on it for 5 days? Or do you think he C, nailed his butt to the cross, so to speak? Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." Shazam! Oh, I get so worked up about it. So what we're saying here, okay, is this. When you read John 9 to yourself, it looks to me that Jesus heals a blind man. The Pharisees investigate the healing, and I'm kind of unfamiliar with that story there. There's insults. You know, that might be a good thing to cover tomorrow as we get into the triumphal entry and just the how people started to hate, you know, really hated Jesus. And then Jesus talking about spiritual blindness. So when people come to you and say, "You have sin in your life, that's why you have all these bad things happen," it is obvious that is not true, and it's obvious that they are one of those people that claim they can see and their guilt remains. Okay, let me kind of calm down a little bit. I got really sidetracked on today's message. Let's go to John 10:1. "I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used his figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have ever come before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and out and find pleasure. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." I'm going to leave it there because the next verse he says that he's the good shepherd, and we'll pick it up from tomorrow. We only have a minute left. But this is the deal, okay? Those that want to rob you of a faith in Christ, that is the work of the enemy. They want to come to kill. He wants to come to kill, steal, and destroy. Well, that kind of wraps up today's message. Got a little bit off topic. I hope it was, you know, I hope it hit home for you as it did me. And got me kind of worked up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for today's message. I pray, Lord, that you would bless those that listen to me with the promises of Scripture, that things that are bad, that you will turn around and that they will be used for your glory, not our own, and that you want to give us good things. And we pray those and believe in those that you're willing to act in our lives. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done for us, for our lives, and for the salvation that we have in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Guys, have a good night, and I'll be back tomorrow.